the sound. Go deeply into your being. Let it touch any place that feels that it needs to be harmonized. Any kind of discomfort, ailment. The mysticism of sound, think of it. We know that on instruments like a tambura, when one string is finely tuned and you just pluck that one string, all the other strings start to vibrate. So, there is a mysticism of sound. And sometimes, if our instruments get out of tune, we can have muscle aches, pain in the joints, heart disease. But we can harmonize that. Science tells us the entire body is sloughed off and recreated, and therefore it's only the impression of disease that remains. And that's why Anaya Khan has left us with these practices, because we can change the vibration and we can purify. The purification breaths are essential daily. They help rid us of impressions. Impressions that stay stuck in different parts of our being. We can actually cleanse those parts of our being with the vibration of breath. You know, they say that they know of yogis that have lived over hundreds of years, and I think it's true. They kept their vibration very constant, and they used the breath. And we that are drawn to these teachings, to these communities, we're like tuning forks. We're like lighthouses. We can offer this to the world. And if we work together and we harmonize, brothers and sisters together, we can kind of create a beautiful network, like a web or a grid of light and vibration, no matter where we are in the whole wide world. With palms pressed together at the heart. Those of us that know the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Anayat Khan, let us say that. Others may just listen to the words. And also inwardly, I invite you to say your own invocation. And while we say the invocation, remember to say it slowly. And know that we're calling on the spirit of guidance, the master, because the master is one expression, unified expression that has come through all the masters, saints, and prophets. Hazrat Anayat Khan is not the master, and Buddha or whoever, and Muhammad, The master is the spirit of guidance through which the expression has come through. And so after the invocation, we'll take a few moments of silence for you to invite your teachers, your lineage, your inspiration. And also, this could be mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, people that have helped you on your way in this life. Invite them to be here. Toward the one,
the perfection
of love, harmony,
and beauty,
the only being,
united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
When you're finished with your personal invocation, if you could lower your hands, then we know it's time to begin. If you've been sharing the gathas, and I am going to read from those initial teachings of Hazrat Anayat Khan. The more I've studied these teachings, what I realize, and I would like to put this in context for you, may I ask, are you reading from the orange volumes?
Yeah, the original volumes.
Okay, the orange ones. They're orange in color or brown?
Yeah, it's an orange one.
Okay.
I've got a mix.
Okay. What I do know about those books is that those have been compiled by students of Hazrat Anayat Khan in categories, but his teaching was done in a different way. He spoke to the audiences before him, and so the brown volumes, does anyone have the brown volumes? Okay. Those are more of a chronological accounting of how he gave the teachings, and also there is an indication as to where it was in the time that it was given. So you'll get a feel for his audience, if you will. I think it was more like an audience really then. But also you get a sense if it was done at summer school. And I don't know if you know this, but the first summer school took place in 1922 in Katwijk, Holland. There now exists there a universal temple on the North Sea in the dunes. And Hazrat Anayat Khan, there's a beautiful story which I can also share. People that are on the Hazrat Anayat Khan circle receive that story about him having two students were, I'm putting it in context. I feel like it's not important to rush into the teachings. that there needs to be this background, a kind of historical perspective. Is that all right with all of you?
Yes.
So apparently this one day, Hazrat Anayat Khan was known to be a very outgoing personality. You sort of don't always know that from his pictures. But he was more outgoing than some of his brothers, and had a great sense of humor. And so this day, they noted that he had a very different expression in his temperament. He was almost prone towards a kind of agitation, which he didn't typically show, and he was very inward. And they said that he was always sort of impeccably groomed, but he was a little disheveled that day. You know, if you've had this experience, you maybe get it at camp. Like after zikr, do you have trouble sleeping sometimes? Mm-hmm. It's because the energy is built up and you have to dissipate it somehow. I'd like to teach you a breath that can help us with that so we know how to relax, expand when we start to get that. And I will this afternoon, if not before. We'll see what happens. But at any rate, there was something building internally, you know, in Hazrat Anayat Khan that day. And they said he would come to the table for meals and wasn't very engaged, which usually he would be, and he didn't eat very much that day. And it got night, and it happened that it was also very windy. The elements, you see, we learn the elemental breaths, but we don't always understand that we are of the elemental culture and that we can tune to those elements. We also can affect those elements. Rain dance, the sun dance, you know, the natives know it, the Native Americans understand this. So, what element is of the mind? The air. It was windy that day, you know. So, at nightfall, he went to the front door of the home, which someone has indicated to us where that is. It is no more, but there's a spot there on the beach. And he said, grab your cloaks. And this was the one time they saw him walk. He was walking, but at such a pace that the two murids had to run. So in a way, he was kind of gliding. And he went to this place in the dunes, and he said, stay here. And he went into the dunes and meditated for some time. And they said when he came out, and that area even now is rather remote. I mean, they have a boardwalk and it's illuminated. But if you can imagine the shipping village, there weren't many lights, and so it was somewhat dark. And so anyway, when he emerged, there was a quality of light about him. And everything was completely smooth, you know, like his hair was smooth and everything was radiant. And he pointed to this area and he said, this is sacred ground and I would like to have a temple built here, which is now, of course, where the Universelle is. And so there is, have you been, Hakima, there? Okay, so you know the valley and you go into that area to meditate, yes? Have you gone there?
I haven't been inside the universe, so I knew it a long time ago.
Okay.
Before I was a Sufi.
Okay.
And I was living in Holland.
What is that thing? Yeah. Yeah. So it's very beautiful, and it was built according to indications that Hazrat Anayat Khan gave, and architects interpreted it, and they spent a lot of time negotiating with the government to acquire the land and such. But at any rate, then you have to consider that was in 1922, they gave the first summer school, and there was a time then when the house in France was offered up, and they moved to Suresnes, and there summer school started taking place. And so these teachings, you see, were part of a living, breathing transmission that has somehow been categorized. But when you read very slowly, you start to think, he's telling me something about a practice, because the teaching was given and a practice was done, but we don't see that in these texts, you see? Mm. So I share that with you so that when you read, you start to think, What practice is this associated to? What was he indicating to his students at that time? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If you read it in that way, something else happens. And it really, you'll feel Murshid coming through.
So are you saying that the brown books do that better?
No, I'm saying they're chronological teachings. But still the practices have always been transmitted orally. But one can see very clearly what he's indicating. It becomes very apparent if you study and you know and you're doing your breath and you start to say, whoa, that means something happens. I don't know how to explain it. Like just someone puts the key in the treasure chest and it opens up and it's like, wow, you know. So I ask you, even if you're reading from the orange volumes, no problem, just study. My Buddhist teachers would always say to me, don't read like you're reading a novel, you know that. But only, even if you just read one line and study that till you really understand it, and then go on. And they also say there's no, there should be no compulsion about trying to acquire information. If we understand one thing, one piece really well, and really know that deeply and let that vibration work on us, then everything else becomes revealed. So no need, the prayers, the primary breaths are essential. Everything will be revealed through that. No need to start, you know, with all the... Nikon didn't give a lot of different practices. And frequently he gave practices in English. There are these whole lists of phrases that he gave to his students. He was teaching to a culture that was not Arab-speaking or whatever, and there were people from all over Europe, so their common language was English. He taught in English, we know that. So he gave English phrases to infuse English with this powerful vibration too. Think of the foresight. I'm so sorry I'm taking your time, I'm not talking about breath, but all of this is coming, so thank you. He's telling, I think he's wanting us to know this. And I never even thought this myself, but I think about it in this moment, how he must have known, you know, at that time, French was almost the second language. Mm-hmm. But he was teaching in English because it has become the universal language. Universal language. Universal. Universal language. I think he must have known that. He could have, he was living in France. All of the children speak French. Think of that. I think he knew. And as I said, he gave practices in English to bring a vibration, a sacred vibration to that language. Yeah.
Could you tell us what some of those English practices were like?
Oh, do I have any of them here? I'm not sure that I do. One of them is with the purification breaths. How many people do the purification breaths or have been instructed, breathe in Yashafi, out Yashafi? How many people have been instructed that way? Yeah. You? Do you know the practice? Okay. What was your instruction?
I think I had an instruction many years ago. I've been on the fringe of this beautiful family.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just recently, it's just been for me to realize that I'm keeping myself on the fringe.
The door is wide open. Come on in. You are here. I have found, and I'll answer your question very specifically, because we're going to do the purification breaths, which are different than the elemental breaths, and that's important to distinguish. Have I given anyone in this room one of those practices? I think maybe I have, in English.
I'm only thinking of the one right now that, of course, goes with the purification breath.
Yeah, and we'll do that in a minute. Is there anything in the back of this book? The phrases are available, and they're in one of the, on the PDF of the online version of, there are all the phrases that he gave as practices, and you can access that through the web, through the NECBA Foundation, the ones that are producing the Brown volume. And I found out that she was such an amazing devotee of Pir Murshid Hazrat and Icon. She gave her vast wealth to the maintenance of those archives, and Sharif Graham is now doing that work of compiling those teachings and producing them in the Brown books. But they're also available on completely online, everything that's been published so far. Shamsuddin, you're connected to the Hazrat and Icon study circle. The link is there. Can you make sure that it gets spread around to people?
Yeah, I actually
do an email.
Have it on my laptop right now.
Okay. And he, you have your you have a special email list, right, Hakima, for mm-hmm. this group? Yeah, and
we
it could
be
just
at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Although, isn't that the one where there is some trouble connecting, first of all, and then secondly, yesterday I tried to download some of those PDF files, and they...
From the NECBA Foundation, or from our website?
No, from the NECBA.
Shouldn't be, because you go to that page and you download the whole PDF.
One line?
Yeah, one of the Brown books will download completely.
Maybe thinking of it.
Okay, we'll find it for you.
And I actually have one of those written here.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's good. One of the English phrases to answer Nirtana's question.
I mean, it's a slightly longer one. But
that's okay.
Breathing, I think it's breathing Lord Adam.
Right.
Guide my steps, Lord, and show me the way by thy divine light.
And he always gave them as a ficker, so you would breathe in on one part of the phrase and out on one part of the phrase. You want to read it again?
Yeah. Guide my steps, Lord, and show me the way by thy divine light.
Do you have an indication of what's to breathe in and breathe out there?
I believe that's breathing in. Guide my steps, Lord, and breathing out, and show me the way by thy divine light.
Let's do that together. So breathing in, and you'll just tell us in and out as we're doing the phrase. And you just close your eyes and feel the vibration of those words. Again, remember, he was always working with vibration, the mysticism of sound. And so when we do it silently and we put it on the swing of the breath, it stimulates we put that vibration into our nervous system and into our blood, and it starts to circulate through our whole body. There's a real deep science to his teachings. Okay.
Breathing in. Guide my steps, Lord. Breathing out. And show me the way by thy divine light. Breathing in, guide my steps, Lord. Out, and show me the way by thy divine light. In, guide my steps, Lord. Out, and show me the way by thy divine light. In, guide my steps, Lord. Out, and show me the way by thy divine light. In, guide my steps, Lord. Out, and show me the way by thy divine light. Out. In,
He's created a rhythm where the exhalation is longer than the inhalation. And also, when I was given my breath practices, I was always told to do the same rhythm in and the same rhythm out. Was anyone else told that? You see, there's something to that longer exhalation. It's a fuller release, and then you just naturally draw in. You see, it's a different rhythm, and it also has a calming effect on the nervous system. Did you feel it? Did you feel it calming you? And did you have that sense also of like that light was radiating out before you on that path? Yeah, Helena, you felt it. I really felt it like it was like a beam, you know, like a car light or something, that it was there. Did other people feel that or see that sort of? You knew what the intention was, maybe. Yeah. That, did you feel something, Nirtana, from that? You see, it's a little bit different than saying, you know, Yahadi Yanur, or, you know, we process it differently. You see? So I ask you to also think about that. I have actually been doing the same wazifas for, I don't know, probably over a decade. And I've changed them completely. I'm saying them only in English now. I mean, I'm using the same wazifa, but in English. You might just experiment. I think that one has to be actively involved in one's practice, not passive, you know, just like really involved. And somehow also creative and expressive, and bring something forward.